Welcome to Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Ryan Dobson, and I'm joined by our favorite pediatrician, Dr. Meg Meeker. Dr. Meeker, I'm sure our listeners are not going to want to miss today's program, as we're going to discuss an issue that affects so many people.
Oh, Ryan, we have a wonderful, wonderful guest in studio today, and we're going to be talking about obesity. Mm-hmm. And you know, Ryan, the obesity epidemic in the United States comprises an estimated 72 million people, and that's 34% of our population. One out of three Americans is categorized as obese. And that doesn't even include the people that got the extra 10 pounds they want to lose. We're talking about obesity. So clearly, this is a huge problem.
Sure. Dr. Meeker, in your practice, do you see this problem as a pediatrician in early childhood?
I do. And I've been in practice for over 25 years now, and I've seen it increasing. Mm-hmm. And it really, really worries me because kids are establishing very poor, not just eating habits early in life, but as we're going to see, our guests will talk about sort of dealing with their emotions through food rather than through other things. So I'm really seeing this early on in kids' life. It's very alarming for me.
Well, our guest today is going to help us shed some light on the problem of overeating and the battle with food because she's been there. She knows firsthand what it's like to be overweight and to struggle with unhealthy eating habits. We're talking about Allison Botke. She is an author and a speaker. She's written several books on setting boundaries in relationships. Her most recent book is called Setting Boundaries with Food: 6 Steps to Lose Weight, Gain Freedom, and Take Back Your Life. And I'm happy to say it just received the 2013 Sela Book of the Year Award. So, Allison, congratulations and thanks for being here.
Oh, thank you so much for having me here.
Allison, let's start a little bit with your background. You didn't find the Lord till you were 35. How did that come about?
I was so entrenched in New Age spirituality and filling. I was searching for everything to fill the empty hole in my life. And I was in Southern California. I was out taking a walk, and I always say this, I walked across the street on legs that weren't my own into a church on a Wednesday evening, and the pastor's message was for me. It was about filling empty places in our soul with things, with food, with people, with relationships. Mm-hmm. I was on another relationship had just broken up, and my life was a mess. My life was an absolute mess, and nothing I sought worked. Nothing I looked for in the world was helping. And his message was about a relationship with Jesus. I had, 35 years old, had never heard that kind of message.
Really?
Isn't never. Something? I think back on that now because that was a lot of years. 35 years is a long time to live.
It is.
I didn't have an earthly father, or I had no idea of a heavenly father. Mm. So there was a lot of years there to find other things.
Sure. Allison, you're here to talk about your book, Setting Boundaries with Food. And you've struggled in this area. You were a plus-size model. You had a very successful career. And still, you were struggling with weight.
Yes, I was. And I ate for all the wrong reasons. It was an emotional issue for me. Mm-hmm. And so I ate. I buried a lot of my emotions. I buried a lot of the pain in food, in wrong kinds of food, and in large quantities of perhaps the right kinds of food. So I was eating for all the wrong reasons, which a lot of people do.
I was reading in your book that a lot of people don't understand this issue. And I think at times in Christendom, we're a little harsh to those that are overweight, and we kind of just shrug it off like, well, just eat better and work out. Yeah. You know, you'll be fine. Can you talk to our audience, those that don't understand, those that don't struggle in this issue, or maybe some that do but they don't know why, talk about what it was like to live inside your own head.
And that is tough because you start judging yourself. Well, maybe they're right. I should be. It should be easy, but it's not easy. So therefore, why isn't it easy? What's wrong with me? Why can't I just stop like they're saying I can do? Or you know, I get involved with the relationship with someone that says like that. I say, well, you're so judgmental. And I'm trying to justify why I can eat what I want to eat. And you know, you get just caught up in it. But it's like saying to a smoker, just quit smoking. Mm-hmm. Just quit smoking. You know, just stop it. Or, you know, people that have bad habits, drug addiction. It's an addiction. Food is a very socially acceptable addiction. Mm-hmm. Overeating is socially acceptable today.
Sure.
It was very, very difficult to break those kind of habits. And then you start feeling the guilt. You get in the guilt gerbil wheel of, well, you know, therefore, you know, if they think it's so easy and it isn't for me, something's wrong with me and my thought process. But then you get into, you know, starting to judge yourself by the media and how you're supposed to look. How can anybody possibly live up to those kind of?
Well, it's out of control, and it's so harmful. And you know, Allison, you write in your book that obesity and your weight issues really weren't about the weight. The battle is not about the flesh, literally. The battle is between the ears. It's in your mind. So, and you describe that there's a lot of guilt. There's a lot of shame. There's a lot of what I like to call self-contempt. Like, what's wrong with me? You know, I'm overweight. I must be a weak person. And you live with this angst in your mind. And, you know, it struck me in reading your book that there's a lot of similarity between your battle with obesity and another person's battle with anorexia nervosa or bulimia nervosa. It's still that same sense that you're in prison in your mind because food and thinking about food has become an obsession, whether you should eat, whether you shouldn't eat, when you should eat, what you should eat, and that guilt. So at what point in your life, you talked to us about coming to the Lord, at what point in your life did you say, Allison, enough, let's deal with this?
It was when I was in a doctor's office and I was looking at another surgery. I'd had back surgery, neck surgery, knee surgery. I was now looking at foot surgery. I was almost 300 pounds, 280-some pounds. And the doctor left the room and left my chart on the counter. And I looked down at the chart and it said, morbidly obese female, age. And I stopped at that, but morbidly obese female. And that word, it absolutely broke my heart, that morbidly obese. And of course, my initial reaction was, how dare he?
Exactly.
Who does he think he is? You know, morbidly obese. You justify this. I'm just a little heavy, or I knew it was heavy, but I'm just tired of dieting anymore. But to see morbidly obese and to look that word up and see what it meant, it was frightening to me, and I realized I really needed to do something. At that point, I was 45 years old and looking at another surgery. And and at that point, I did start doing a lot of research and looked into weight loss surgery to start to get a handle. Mm-hmm. But I started therapy at that point. I went through a year of therapy
weight loss.
Psychotherapy.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. That's a very important piece because you devoted an entire chapter to weight loss surgery because you view that as a tool.
Yes.
Because your weight was a symptom, and this was a tool to help you with the symptom. But it wasn't the problem.
Exactly.
You started therapy to deal with the problem.
Exactly. And weight loss surgery is not a panacea for losing weight quickly and keeping it off. Part of my medical insurance made me take therapy, maybe go to see a therapist. And it was the best thing to happen to me because it was a year before surgery, a year of talking about why I thought like I did, what kind of habits I have, what I started to listen, and this is a real key, to start to listen to my stomach and my head to get them connected. Was I really hungry when I reached for food? Was I physically hungry, or was I emotionally hungry for something else?
What kind of emotional needs were you trying to fill with food?
Love. It was finding that place where I really trusted God to take care of me and that I had that love relationship because I hadn't grown up with that. And we all have different needs, whether it is that love or security or, you know, what is it that we, you know, need? I needed safety, security, love. And, you know, I was raised in a broken home and experienced a lot of, you know, tragedy and pain in my life. And
you did.
And I was trying to stop that hurt, you know, and I wanted somebody to take care of me and love me, and food did that. But no matter how we slice it, food is not love. Mm. Food is not going to give me what I need. But I don't even know what I need until I really, you know, get on my knees and say, God, you know, help me out here. What do I need? And what I need is that relationship. I need to reprioritize my life and get that relationship with you, right? The vertical relationship has to happen, you know, first, and that's a key. Yeah. It's such a key.
Allison, talk about the day after surgery. Was it controversial, the surgery? Were your friends supportive? Were they against it?
At the time, I was married, and my husband is the only person I told that I was having the surgery.
Really?
He and I communicated a lot about it. I'd been going to therapy. I made the choice not to tell other people around me, and I made it was a very specific choice because I had attended a lot of weight loss surgery support groups before my surgery, and I watched the people. I watched family members around them. I learned. I did a lot of research. I did a tremendous amount of research on the different options that were open as far as weight loss surgery went, and I made the choice not to because everybody then watches you. It's like when you're dieting, you're now under the microscope. It's like when you tell somebody, oh, I'm on a new diet. I'm trying the new, you know, this new program. I'm on that new program. So they watch you. And if you are, you know, successful or you're failing, you're under, again, this microscope. I was so tired of being under a microscope about my weight. My husband and I made this choice together that I wouldn't tell anybody that I had weight loss surgery.
Allison, one of the keys in your book, you talk about the six steps to sanity.
Yes.
And that's been it's been a very positive influence in your life. Can you talk about what those steps are?
I absolutely can. And I had never intended to write a whole series of books on boundaries, Ryan. I sat down and wrote one book about my journey with my adult son, who at the time I wrote this was in prison. And I finally had had enough. I realized I could not continue the enabling patterns I was continuing. And I journaled and I wrote and I read the Bible. I did everything to learn how I could be a better parent and not enable and to be stronger. And I wrote all these things down that I was doing. And I looked at them one day and realized that the key things I was doing spelled out the word sanity.
Wow.
And this truly was a God. That's how God works, you know, because these sanity steps are
much, he makes it pretty clear, doesn't he?
Very, very. Yeah. Because the S for me in sanity was stop my own negative behavior.
How did you live the S out?
Yes, it stop my old habits. Stop eating when I'm not hungry. Stop ignoring the emotional issues that are going on. And the A was assemble a support group. Get around other people.
Allison, I can envision someone driving around in their car right now, pulling up to a drive-thru at McDonald's before it's 4 o'clock in the afternoon, dinner's a couple hours away, and she's saying, I'm starving, and I really, really, really need a burger. And you can say to her, okay, now stop. And so she pulls the car over and stops and said, I really know I shouldn't eat that burger, but boy, I want that. Talk to that woman. Tell her what to do now. And she says, I feel awful. I'm very lonely. I know I shouldn't be eating this, but boy, I want that burger.
In our own natural strength, we are not going to be able to stop that and get over that. This is what we've got to stop and step back and say, Lord, help me. Let me break this bondage. Help me not eat this, not want this. But we have to fill that place with his word. I carry Bible around with me. I carry tracts around. Anything that you can do to circumvent that drive through and stop.
Mm-hmm. Even to pull the car over and say help. Because really, it's a sense of being
huge.
Out of control. And I think that anybody who overeats or starves, the reality is the thoughts about food have taken over your life. And so maybe in that minute to stop and say, okay, help, Lord. I give you the control. I'm not putting words in your mouth. I'm just envisioning what that mom in the car right now can do. So, you know, I've tried to stop eating forever. But you're saying stop. And ask yourself, are you hungry? And if you're not really hungry, what are you really hungry for? And then in this moment, ask God to come and begin to feel that need. That's a really scary thing, Allison.
Yes, it is.
Allison, we've gotten through S with stop, and A, you talked about support group for assembly.
Yes.
Let's talk about the rest of sanity.
N, nip excuses in the bud.
Mm-hmm.
We have so many excuses. But I just want, you know, a few French fries. But I'm a little hungry. Or, you know, there's always an excuse for either our enabling or our allowing other people to overstep boundaries. You know, if you're justifying negative behavior.
Allison, we think of setting boundaries with other people and setting boundaries with adult children or with our parents. We think about the fact that when we're having difficulty with boundaries, we don't know where the line is between us and them. Mm-hmm. We just sort of are part of them.
Yes.
Is it fair to say then, if we're setting boundaries with food, that food has become our best friend, part of us, and we need to almost cut food away and say, you're not my friend anymore?
Well, that's a very good way to put that, because it has become our friend, our comforter. Food is intended as a fuel for our body, so we can do the things God wants us to do, so we can live according to His purpose. It's become everything else but fuel to our body. But we need it to keep us alive, so we can't starve ourselves. And yet, there's a lot of diets we go through, starve and eat and starve, or control it or count it. So it's the whole, being intentional about replacing it and finding sanity, the no more excuses, and implementing a plan. That's the I in sanity. Implement a plan. So what is your issue? I'm really all about writing down, whether you don't have to be a writer, get a steno pad out, write down where you're at today. How many diets have you tried? Let's go through all this. Where have you been? What do you want? Where do you see yourself? How does God see you? What's your ideal life? What is your purpose? What do you really want to do? This is what I ask women, instead of dieting, forget the diet for a while. What do you want to do with your life? What do you want to be when you grow up? Let's start looking at that, not looking at the numbers on the scale.
Yeah.
Let's stop looking at controlling the food. Let's just say, okay, I'm going to eat healthier. I'm going to, cut my portions back, but I'm going to live my life. And trust the still small voice of the Spirit. Trust the Holy Spirit. When we get that relationship right, and we're spending more time in the Word, and we're spending more time with the Lord, and walking the path He wants us to walk, and knowing more about His plan and purpose for us, stop long enough to listen to the Holy Spirit when He talks to you. What's He telling us?
And that makes me think about, I think, one of the most devastating things about being overweight and being consumed with eating too much is this cycle of real self-deprecating thoughts. And I think that's where you really get stuck in this prison.
Yes.
I'm not worth anything more. I'm not worth losing weight. This is the way my life is. I'm nothing. And it's really hard when God starts to show you who you really are and how much He loves you. It's really hard to accept that kindness and that goodness and to believe that we are really as good and lovable as He says. This is a process you're talking about.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
It is
this
a process.
This is not an overnight situation.
No, it's not. As we start believing that, we have to realize that there may be people around us that aren't going to believe that. Mm-hmm. So then, now here we're faced with another issue. Now that I'm setting these boundaries and I'm getting healthier and I'm realizing that God has this, amazing plan for me and my identity is in Christ and I'm going to protect my heart more. And now you've got other issues. So it's a never-ending growth process of walking in the Lord and hearing, trusting His voice and asking Him to give us wisdom and discernment. What is it? And I pray for that a lot now. Mm-hmm. And it's now become a very intentional thing. Lord, give me the wisdom and discernment to know what it is You want me to learn from this situation, whatever this is that's going on right now, whatever boundary issue, whatever relationship this is. How can I speak in firmness and love? How can I set? How do I know this is a boundary issue? Because I have boundary issues, so I know this. So when I'm confronted by something, how do You want me to respond? Yeah. So it's a never ending growth process.
Let me speak to that specifically because I think when you got your surgery in 2000, it's been a few years, but I've seen a movement where people are saying, it's okay to be obese. I feel great. I'm beautiful. I love myself. I'll be honest. One, I don't really buy it. I don't think that when you get out of breath walking up the stairs and when your clothes continually stop fitting and you see yourself getting bigger and bigger, and you're unhealthy. Your doctor has used the words morbidly obese, saying that this is a life-threatening weight condition. How do we combat that to where you've got people around you going, I love myself for who I am. You should love yourself just for who you are. It's okay to be this way.
We should love ourselves for who we are. I think where that battle comes in is that we've spent so many years trying to all fit into one little peg of how skinny everybody should look. We should all look like this model size. So if you aren't, then there's something wrong with you. And now we've grown to where we're accepting the fuller figure. We're accepting not everybody's shaped the same way. Some people are going to be bigger than others. The key here is are you healthy? What's your heart like?
Sure.
If your doctor says your heart's fine, your cholesterol's good, your bones, your joints, everything is okay, then maybe you're intended to be a bigger person. But obesity is a whole other
thing. It's a very different thing.
It's very different. Mm-hmm. So, and if you say, I accept myself as I am, God loves me as I am, yes, that's true. God also wants you to be healthy and live a long life. Mm-hmm. And the why of sanity is critical, is yield everything to God. He is in control. He has the answers for me when I don't. So, and that's a key in boundary issues with anything, being able to say, you know, I have a problem here. I don't know the answer. I don't have the answer right now. So God can fix it all times. I know He can. I believe fully that He can. But are we going to stop long enough and step back and trust Him to
do it?
Absolutely. And let Him do it. And then hear and listen for it. It's a process. It's a faith. Faith is a process, and yielding to God is a process.
Sure. Dr. Meeker, I'm really glad you're here, because I know we've got a lot of parents listening, and I'm sure some of them are saying, I think my son or daughter has a problem, whether it's anorexia or bulimia or overeating or undereating. Are there warning signs parents can look for in their kids?
You know, absolutely. I think that whenever I see children with eating disorders, whether it's eating too much or whether it's starvation or purging, I am very concerned that there's some depression, other things going on in the child's life, and they're substituting, attending to that issue with food. And it sort of diverts the mind, if you will. So I think it's very important that if you find your child's weight going up, go to your pediatrician right away. And you might even want to go to your pediatrician alone without your child and sit down with a pediatrician and say, I'm really worried about my child having a weight issue. Either she's starving or she's overeating. So how can you help me help my child here? And that's one place parents can really help impact their kids. Mm-hmm. Is food is just food. We're not going to talk about it all the time. One of the big mistakes I see moms making is constantly talking to their kids about their diet plan. Don't. You know, your kids don't want to hear about it, but what you're telling
you're putting the microscope on them.
Exactly. And what you're saying to your kids is, this is really important. See, this is really important. Food should have its proper place in the home, and that is its nourishment. Yes, it tastes good. Yes, it's fun. But there shouldn't be too much focus on that. And that's where we as parents can keep food in its proper place. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm really big on not letting kids graze all day long, you know, and not being able to go in the refrigerator all the time, and sort of just establish some really healthy eating patterns.
Well, Allison, it seems like through the release of your book, you're really helping people find freedom, that their dark cloud is going away and they can breathe again.
God wants us to live sane lives. Mm-hmm. He wants us to be free. He wants us to be to have that sanity, that peace of His love. And when we can get things reprioritized, when we set healthy boundaries, it's all about prioritizing our life the right way.
Well, I'm glad you're giving sanity to some people that feel crazy out there.
Yes.
And I hope today's program does that as well. Thanks for being here. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Ryan, for having me. Thank you, Dr. Meeker.
Once again, the title of the book is Setting Boundaries with Food, 6 Steps to Lose Weight, Gain Freedom, and Take Back Your Life by Allison Botke. And you can find a link to that at drjamesdobson.org.
And Ryan, I just want to quickly jump in here and come back to the man or woman who's driving around out there wanting to go into McDonald's and eat that burger.
Right.
And I would encourage that man or woman to maybe drive in the parking lot, pull the car over, and say, I'm going to wait 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. And if in 10 minutes I have to have the burger, then maybe I'll have the burger. When that 10 minutes is up, say, well, maybe I can wait another 10 minutes.
Sure.
And then you've got 20 minutes down.
Mm-hmm.
And then you begin to realize, I have more control.
That's right.
Than I think I do.
That's right. That is a great point. And with that in mind, if you're just getting started on this journey of weight loss, remember, We understand this is the first step in a long marathon, and we are here for you. We would like to come alongside you and help you through this.
So if you're in the middle of this battle right now and your mind is filled with an internal dialogue of shame and self-loathing and guilt, we want to help you interrupt that negative thought cycle and start to realize what you're saying to yourself and begin to battle in your mind, because that's really where it all starts, is just to say, I don't have to feel that shame. I don't have to feel that badly about myself. I am worth it. Yeah. And I think that's one of the great tools we want to give our listeners.
Definitely. And if you need help, if you're hurting and we've touched the nerve today, call us. We want to pray with you. If you don't know the Lord and His transformational power, again, call us. We will walk you through that process, the process of the gospel and finding Jesus Christ. I promise your life will never be the same.
That's right, Ryan. Our phone number is 877-732-6825. We're here for you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Mm-hmm. So please give us a call. Or you can reach out to us at drjamesdobson.org.
That's right. All of us here at Family Talk, thank you for spending these quick 30 minutes with us. And we hope you'll return next time for another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Family Talk is not affiliated with Focus on the Family.